We'll proceed then to item R. I thank Pat Sweeten for being on the phone, and also John Jednick, again, representing solo in person for Justice Huffman, who couldn't be here. Again, appreciate your stepping in for this.
Thank you, Chief. This particular area will, audit report will not take long. The A&E committee, let me get this slide there. The A&E committee, upon my recommendation, reviewed this audit report of Alameda Superior Court and noted that for a large court, the issues contained in the report were not extremely serious and generally would have referenced it for consent agenda. But the committee itself looked at the report and felt, based upon their duties, that there was an individual issue that they wanted to draw to the attention of the E&P committee and of the council under their duties. And that is one specific issue that is identified in the report to council. And that particular issue concerns a systems development project that the court was involved with their traffic system. And they wanted to have this report discussed, but only for that particular issue concerning more of a lessons learned or what a superior court or a trial court should not do on its own when it's developing a system. That issue is on page 28 of the audit report, but I'll kind of walk through it. The audit report discusses the existence of technical industry guidelines and state requirements that are required of executive branch, but not of the Superior Courts of California, concerning the compliance with information technology projects and how they should be performed. The Superior Courts, again, are not required to comply with the state requirements until such point in time as the total project costs, I emphasize the word project costs, exceed $5 million, in which case they're required to be noticed to the California Technology Agency, which then performs a review. And that review covers a lot of the documentation and issues that I'm going to identify as part of a proper systems development project. And those industry guidelines and standards should be followed for proper management and control of an IT project. The emphasis here is that the Superior Courts, or in this case, Alameda Superior Court, did not violate any statute, did not violate any policy of that exists for the court in developing a system. One of the particular issues that the court was not aware of and that many courts are not aware of is the definition of project and how to estimate those costs and accumulate those costs. In this particular case, the court felt that its contract to develop the system, which was for $750,000, was the project cost. In point in fact, once you identified all the costs of the projects, both internal and external, that total project costs accumulated to almost $4 million. Some of the standards and requirements and guidelines that exist, including PMBOK standards for project management, the IEEE, which is the Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers, these are standards that are promulgated in industry internationally for how to develop a systems project. The five basic stages, again, I'm not going to get into any level of detail, but there are five basic stages which result in documents and result in the requirements contained in those standards. In this particular case, the concept stage requires a feasibility study to estimate those costs. I'm not going to get into the issues of Alameda Superior Court. I'll say on a high-level basis, and I know Pat's on the line and we've talked about this, this particular project failed in every respect concerning the standards that are out there to be followed. But again, I repeat, there were no policy nor statutory violations here. They just did not comply with general proper monitoring and management of the project. The system did come into play and is now at the court for the traffic business of the court after multiple years and a couple of hiccups. Project initiation, project charter has to be established. That's the major product output. You have to evaluate verification validation work as to whether it's necessary to define the scope of the project. Project planning, you need a project management plan. And the governance of that plan and the oversight needs have to be defined within this stage. Project execution, requires appropriate monitoring of the project management plan with all the deliverables, with the output of the stage being the agreed-upon deliverables with performance measurement being accomplished. In closing, the last basic step in a systems development life cycle, or an SDLC concept, is that you have to perform a lessons learned, a post-implementation evaluation report. All these five stages and what I've kind of outlined here are requirements of the CTA and requirements of the executive branch for properly doing a systems development project, adequately monitoring it. With that, again, as the emphasis here before I turn it to Pat Sweeten for a couple of comments, is that the A&E committee felt necessary to provide this as information to through ENP to the council as a lessons learned so other courts know what could go wrong, should acknowledge the fact that they have standards out there and they have to be monitored and developed and adhered to. And I'll turn it over to Pat Sweeten for a couple of comments. Pat?
So my basic purpose in coming to the council with this was basically to acknowledge that there were mistakes made, but more importantly, that there need to be some guidelines or instructions to the court on what is included in total project costs. And, for example, our court absorbed a lot of those costs, such as training staff, the negotiations and things like that, where it did not affect our budget, per se. So, and as a result, we did not acknowledge them as project costs because they weren't additional costs. But in fact, what we've learned in working with John is that all of those costs need to be itemized and included when you project your project costs. And I don't think that's clearly understood by everybody. And so my purpose in addressing this issue with the council is that something needs to be some document needs to be provided to the court so that they have something that they can follow and that they have a clear definition of what those costs are so that they don't make the same mistake that we did.
Thank you. Judge Jacobson.
Thank you. I read this, and I've discussed this also with Pat Sweeten in the last week. And obviously, this is a particular project that was not done well. And so I don't know if a motion is appropriate, but if one is, the motion I would make would be for Judge Herman's technology committee to establish appropriate and more precise standards in a written form that's accessible to courts that wish to endeavor into getting their own, setting up their own case management systems that would guard against and protect courts from unwittingly repeating this type of sequence. So that's a motion, if a motion is appropriate here.
I think Justice Miller had a motion.
Multiple parts.
I do have a friendly amendment, and that is to really broaden what they would do and not just come up with written guidelines, but consider whatever it may need to be done to highlight it, such as education or training or the creation of written guidelines.
I would gladly accept that.
I haven't heard a second. Second by a judge. So any discussion?
Aren't we also supposed to accept the audit?
Yes, yeah. It can be posted on the website. Thank you, Jim.
Is that part of the motion?
Sure, that's part of the motion. Another friendly amendment.
Yes, Judge D'Alba.
Exactly. Thank you, Chief. I just have a question about process generally about these audits, because I noticed in this discussion at the end of the report, the last couple paragraphs, where it describes how these reports are posted publicly after we accept them, et cetera, that there's scrutiny of the report before it's posted for a variety of reasons to make sure sensitive information is not publicly disclosed. And in this narrative, it describes, that is the report we have in front of us on page 3, describes among some of the information that should not be compromised are matters that relate to security of the branch or security of judicial officers. Who's the censor? Who's the screener that does this before it gets onto the web page?
It's Internal Audit Services goes through the audit report and redacts particular information in the audit report, then presents it to the A&E committee, who reviews in detail the audit report, and we describe, you know, what's going on, and they concur with any recommendations from the Internal Audit Services staff.
So, Chief, if I may, so if I understand you, you're saying some analyst here at the AOC or staff person looks, and then it's presented back to the A&E committee, so judges then scrutinize it? I'm sorry if I misunderstood.
No, it's Internal Audit Services. It's myself. Who, you know, I'm responsible for the audit report. I review the data with the court exec in as part of our exit review. Then I review the information to ensure that there is no sensitivity for the council approval 2 years ago of any items in there that could jeopardize the safety of court employees or judicial officers. And we remove that particular data or reference from the audit report prior to it being put on the website.
Not hearing any further discussion, I'll call for a vote on the amended motion. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Matter carries. Thank you. Thank you, Pat, for joining us. Thank you, John, for your double duty in person. In memoriam, we conclude today's meeting, unfortunately, as we often do, with a brief remembrance of our judicial colleagues recently deceased. We have Judge Edward Bullard, who was serving on the Superior Court of Santa Barbara County at the time of his death. Our other colleagues were retired from the bench. Honorable Timothy Hannafin, Santa Clara Municipal Court. Honorable James Shangaris, Superior Court of Sutter County. Honorable Lawrence Drum, Los Angeles Municipal Court. Honorable Warren Deering, Los Angeles Municipal Court. Honorable William Manel, Superior Court, Los Angeles. Honorable Antonio Chavez, Los Angeles Superior or Municipal Court. Honorable Richard Kessel, Superior Court of Santa Cruz County. And the Honorable Ellen Brody, Superior Court of San Bernardino County. We honor them for their service to the courts and to the cause of justice. We stand in recess. Our next meeting will be a 3-day, June 26, 27, and 28. We stand adjourned. Thank you.